640 AM WSBC. Welcome back, folks, to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. This show is presented to you by the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub out in Beverly and Bridgeport here in Chicago. Fox's Beverly Pizza.
Sure.
Guinness Irish Stout.
Absolutely.
And Flood Brothers Disposal.
Sweet.
My name is Fanny Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me to my left, as always, is my twin brother, Billy. Billy?
Hello, hello, hello.
And to the left of him, the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clayton O'Brien. Clay, hello.
Spring is here.
Spring is here. We had a beautiful hot week here in,
Sorry?
It was hot. It got up to almost 80 degrees. That's hot.
One day.
2 days, actually.
Two days.
Anyway, we have had lovely weather here in the Shy up until today. You bring that up. Actually, my daughter left to go to California like the day that it was so warm, you know?
Wow.
And I was like, this is going to be weird. Like the one day that it gets really warm here, she's like bounces out. But she went to California to visit her uncle.
Nice.
And she for a little Easter, you know, break deal.
Yeah, yeah.
My brother-in-law and his wife live in the outskirts of Los Angeles, and they both work in the entertainment and business. As one's an editor, and one's a producer.
Very nice.
And Charlotte loves all that show busy stuff. My daughter, so they invited her out to come hang out for the week. God bless them. It was such a nice gesture.
Yeah.
Really nice thing for Charlotte to go do too, like solo. You know, I never made any solo missions when I was 11 years old by myself. You know,
no.
Mike Sarkowski, our producer, he makes a note. He says, "Did she fly alone?" No, she. My brother-in-law and his wife Jess were here in town, and then they just took her back to LA with them. But she is, however, flying alone on her way home.
Nice.
And I'm still worried about it a little bit, because it was my daughter's first time on a plane.
Yeah.
Right. Ah. But she is 11 years old. I don't think I would have been courageous enough at 11 or bold enough to want to fly alone. I mean, I'm sure I could have done it, but I think I would have been scared a little bit.
If I had never been on a plane before?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I flew alone once when I was probably like maybe like 14 or 15, which wasn't that scary.
But anyway, that's been the big event this week in my household. And so, you know, she's been sending me and texting me. She got there safely. You know, everything's fine. But she's been texting me pictures. I had to give my phone back to her phone back to her.
What if she gets discovered?
Clay, you bring this up, and this is how she thought it was going to go down.
She could bump into Siwa.
As soon as she could bump in, she's not about Siwa anymore.
No.
She's into Billie Eilish. You know, went from Siwa to Eilish.
I thought you were going to say Billy Idol.
I would have liked that better.
Yeah. I'll take Idol over Siwa.
She's just sitting
day.
Around listening to Eyes Without a Face in her bedroom all day. I'd be like, dude, this chick is cool. You know?
This chick.
Anyway, you're right, Clay. She did kind of think that she was going to, like, when we told her that she was going to go to LA, because the surprise only came a week beforehand, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She was like, I got to get all new clothes. You know, I'm going, and we took her out and got her some stuff for the vacation.
Sure.
But I was like, what's with you? Like, do you think, she's like, do you think I'll meet any celebrities while I'm there, run into anybody? And I was like, I doubt it. But
you may run into Tom Sizemore if you're lucky.
You could, yeah. She wouldn't know Sizemore, though. And if she did know,
a good thing.
If my daughter did know who Sizemore was, I'd be a little worried.
If she was listening to Idol and knew who Sizemore
was? Right, she's like, I'm going to L.A. with Uncle Cooper to meet Billy Idol and Tom Sizemore. I'd go, what? We can't let you go on this trip.
I'd say, can I come?
Right.
You probably do, though.
Where?
Where is this party?
How do you know Sizemore? I've been TikToking. He's been messaging me on TikTok.
Giving me advice.
Right.
That's creepy.
It is creepy. But TikTok is creepy.
Sizemore's been TikToking my daughter.
Right.
What? They're very close.
He's changed. He's completely reversed himself.
It's a very healthy relationship.
Right. Yeah. He found Jesus.
He did, yeah.
Anyway.
But you said the celebrities running into a celebrity.
Yeah, we
did see celebrities. I did, at least. I mean, when we
went. The first time you ever went to Los Angeles?
Both times we went to Los Angeles.
The first time I went, I ran into a celebrity. I've run into a celebrity every time I've been there.
I mean, the first time I was there, I saw Busta Rhymes and Carney's Hot Dogs.
Beautiful. Right.
And then the second time we were there, we saw Bruce Campbell on the Venice Boardwalk.
Oh, that's right.
The lead singer of Two Life Crew?
No, he's an Evil Dead. He was on Burn Notice.
Oh,
he's kind
of
a cult filmmaker.
Campbell.
You're thinking of Luther. Didn't see Luther.
No. Luther Campbell from
Two Live Crew.
Two Live Crew.
Yeah, oh. That would have been sweet.
He's in LA, I'm sure.
I saw Chris Kattan.
Okay.
I was behind the younger Affleck, Casey Affleck, at an ATM once.
Oh wow!
I saw Dave Chappelle, who okay. I said hello to. I saw Harvey Keitel, who I got a picture with.
On the Santa Monica Boardwalk.
Correct. And then I saw some broad from E! Network.
Okay.
Who my wife knew. Brooke Ball.
Brooke Burns?
Yeah, Brooke Burns.
Oh, I loved her. Wild on E!
Wild on E! She was at Starbucks.
She was at Starbucks? Brooke Burns was at Starbucks?
Starbucks in Malibu.
Anyway, yes. So, Charlotte, I said to Charlotte, I don't know if you're going to see any celebrities. I can't predict it. I said, but, yeah. You know, some people live in L.A. and go years without seeing one. You know?
Or being one.
Or, exactly. I think if you're...
About 90% of them.
Yeah.
But...
It's a brutal place.
Who Charlotte considers a celebrity, I may not, because her sphere of pop culture is different from mine. You know, she could see... She's like, do you think I'll see Charli D'Amelio or some sort of TikTok
yeah,
star
right.
or YouTube star? I'm like, maybe. I wouldn't even know those people if I saw them on the street. So,
and you're looking for Seagulls and Van Damme.
I'm looking for, yeah, I'm not looking
for Chuck Norris.
When I go to L.A., I don't look for TikTokers. I look for Seagulls, Van Damme,
Chuck Norris,
Carl Weathers. Guys like that.
I read an interesting article about Seagal the other day, by the way.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, the mob. Him and the mob are having, they had some problems.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure several mobs in several countries have problems with it. Because he's got a Russian connection, too, right?
Yeah, there was
he
something
likes to
like
dip
that.
His toes in the Russian waters?
There was, somebody from a crime family in New York had to pay him a visit about something.
Oh,
Seagal
boy.
Had to cough up the dough.
Clay, yeah. Once again, I'm telling a family story, and Bill hijacks it with Seagal.
That's
well,
okay.
He was mentioned.
Bill's like, I got to integrate myself into the show here, and let me throw out Seagal.
No, I just, you were talking about L.A., and Clay had mentioned
That's
Seagal.
That's what comes to your mind when you think of L.A.
Well, because I read an article about him recently, and
Bill,
I was like, yeah.
I heard you moved into a new apartment.
I did. Yeah.
Do you have any Seagal posters?
No, man.
You should get every movie poster he's ever been in and put one in each room of your new apartment.
How about get every
you
movie?
You want to come into the Out for Justice room?
How about
that would be great if you had a Steven Seagal pop up apartment?
Themed apartment?
Yeah, you got like karate gis in the closets and
nunchucks.
It's nuts. And a 45 on the table. Big samurai sword.
One of those targets on the wall.
Right.
With bullet holes in it.
Right. You got a little kitchen area. That's the Mark for Death area.
Well, I thought chopsticks everywhere.
I thought maybe I would just get...
I want everything to be Asian themed.
You got to eat with chopsticks, Hulan.
Maybe wallpaper in the bathroom of like all the Seagal movie posters.
That would be sweet. Is there such a thing?
We could design that.
That's going to cost some money.
Well, I think it would attract a lot of people.
Not really, because you could just print it. You
He'll
know,
sue
like,
you. He'll kill you. He'll have you killed.
Well, I don't know. He didn't want to pay the mob until they got the $375.
Maybe he'll put the wallpaper up for you.
Eh.
Steven Seagal wallpapered my bathroom.
You know who? Steven,
he probably did do that for somebody at one time.
I hope he did.
Well, that's something to think of, isn't it?
I can't pay you for these karate lessons.
Seagal wallpapering?
Right. I wonder if Steven Seagal ever wallpapered anyone's room. Just a thought for the day.
The things Billy lays in bed and thinks about at
right.
night.
I got to move. I got to pack.
The White
I wonder
Sox.
If Seagal has ever wallpapered a room.
The White Sox won.
Thank
I don't
you,
gotta,
Mike.
I don't
hey,
gotta...
Siri, Seagal ever wallpaper anybody's room?
Yeah.
Yes. Chuck Norris.
There's been seagulls on people's wallpaper for years.
Yes. Yeah. He wallpapered Michael Ovitz's gym in 1982. Oh, thank you, Siri. Siri, where can I get a cold beverage on the south side of Chicago?
Oh.
The Cork and Carry Pub.
That's right.
This show is presented by him. More Hoolies Hoolie after these.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Carry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehys pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Don't touch that dial. The Hooli's Hooli returns in just a moment.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Charlotte, are you ready to go to L.A.?
1 minute, Dad. Just want to finish this Idol song before I leave.
Putting holes in all my jeans.
Right, exactly.
I'm putting some holes in my jeans. I'll be down in a bit.
Changing my skateboard wheels.
Mm-hmm. That would be great, actually, but unfortunately she's listening to, like, you know, Addison Rae and TikTokers.
I thought she was into skaters.
Well, she was into skaters. That was last year. These kids changed their minds so quickly.
I'm not letting that happen. Well, I'm forcing my kids to do what they don't want to do.
I'm trying to find something for Charlotte to kind of grab onto, right? Well, she's not into, like, sports, really. You know, she's had so many showbiz people around her, you know? My parents were actors. Her grandfather was a pop singer, you know?
Yeah.
Her great-grandfather had a radio show.
Sure.
You know, her brother, her uncle is an actor. You know, her aunt's a producer. Her dad has a radio show.
True.
You know, so she's intrigued by media, you know?
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm like, all right, let me kind of fall into it with her a little bit. Let me just push into this. But I'm like, I want to get away from TikTok, and I'm trying to find maybe, you know, music, because she loves music. I'm like, you should be following people that write and produce their own music, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like this overproduced stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Totally.
I don't know. You know, like, I want her to be into, like, indie rock or, like, classic rock. And, like, I want her to be able to be inspired enough to go pick up an instrument. I tried piano with her a couple years ago.
There needs to
be. She didn't go for it. Then I tried sports with her, and she was like, you know, I'm not into it because I'm not. If she has, and it's a thing I'm trying to get her to move past, but she's like, if I'm not the best person on the floor, I don't feel like I need to do it, you know? Which is, I think that's the sort of.
That's the heart of a champion.
But her generation, I think her whole generation kind of has that, you know, vibe to them. You know,
yeah.
Like everyone's the master
it's
of their
the
own
best
domains
or nothing.
Now. Yeah, like
it's image.
It's all about image. It's like
instant gratification, like how they get from the screens when they're playing games. Like even in real life, if they don't get their answer right away, or if they don't get what they want, or if it doesn't go out for them, they get upset. Highs and really lows. Really
there's
quick.
A different type of like jealousy now. If you're in a basketball game and you lose, and then the girls that win are in the lobby with a trophy taking selfies,
right?
They're gonna like you know.
Yeah, they're more jealous of the selfie than they are of the feat
the
of losing. Yeah, exactly. It's all about the after effect and what it should have looked
the
like.
Selfie.
It is though, and I've noticed that, you know, about just watching my daughter with like the TikToks, and you're right, Bill, with the computer games, the kids, you know, e-gaming is big now, and you know, it is a team sport, but I don't think a lot of kids realize it yet. But
you can't get a scholarship to a college.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm reverting back to is that
technology is destroying everything.
Well, my daughter's like, you don't have to be talented to be famous, and all these kids want to be famous. They want to be a famous pop star, but they don't want to learn how to play music. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Or they want to be a famous actor, but they don't want to go and be in a play, or they don't want to, you know, they don't want to put the work in or actually learn the craft. They just want the end result.
In our day, the frauds, even Millie Vanilli could dance, you know?
Exactly. You know?
They could move.
They could move.
They could.
Anyway, so on that note, I've been trying to try to find, you know, music for her, right? That I'm like, that we can both kind of vibe
on. And her
on.
A little album called, yeah, you're going to play something.
Well, I'll send her, like, Chrissy Hynde videos or, like, videos of, like, Bananarama, you know? Like, a lot of girl groups, right?
Yeah.
So one of them I came across the other day, and I'll play the song shortly, right? Because I was like, this is the cool dad would, like, send this.
Listen to
you know?
This.
No, and she's in L.A., and I was like, here's your summer jam of the week.
Yeah.
You know, this song slaps hard. You know,
is that what they're saying?
That's what I think the kids are saying.
What kids?
The ones that I troll on YouTube.
Oh, those ones.
Yes. Oh. Where do you think I get my cool phrases?
Yikes.
Google? Google is YouTube. Haha, trick question.
Yes. It is.
Yeah, it's this song slaps. Honey, you're gonna love it. It slaps. But anyway, I stumbled across this song and I heard it in the car and I was like, this song does slap. I like this. I had to figure out. I had to find out who it was. Right.
Okay.
I find out.
Was it Arthur Euria?
It wasn't Arthur Euria.
Arthur Euria's wife?
Janet. No, she's
Janet
not
Euria.
No, she's not. This girl she's half Korean, half American, half white, half Korean. Right?
Beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah, she is. And
so are you.
Yes, but she's an indie rocker and she writes and produces her own music. But she goes by the name of her band is called Japanese Breakfast. All right.
Sounds delicious.
And I was intrigued right away. Have you ever had Japanese breakfast?
I can't say that I have.
No. What's in it? Do we know what's in it?
I don't know. We'll have to Google that after we play the song. But the name of the song is Be Sweet.
Oh, okay.
And when I heard it, I was like, and she had been on Jimmy Fallon like a week or two ago. This was just dropped, this single.
Oh.
But I heard it, and sometimes, have you ever heard a song and you're like, this song's going to be huge. I can just tell that if it gets a lot of radio play, it'll be one of those like sort of summer
anthems. It starts now.
Or it starts here on the Hooli's Hooli tonight.
You feel like you're, you know, like, who's the big guy?
Who's
the big record producer?
Clive Owen?
Clive Owen?
No, he's the film actor.
Yeah, I know.
Clive Davis.
Clive Davis.
Yeah.
Remember the big record producer, Clive Owen? Reminds me of Clive Owen.
That's what I was about to say. I was about to pull a total Bill.
There's only two Clives in the whole world.
That's nursing home Bill. Yeah. Clive Owen, yeah, Clive Owen.
Anyways, you thought you could be him when you heard this song. You're like, that's a hit.
Yes, I was like, that's a hit maker. And I'm telling, I gotta text it to Charlotte while she's in Los Angeles, right? Hey, Charlotte, this song slaps. You should make a TikTok of this you have your phone back, right? Because she does. I gave her phone back for the trip.
Sure. Send her Appetite for Destruction, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But this song was called Be Sweet. Do you remember that sweet has such a connotation? What is sweet? Remember when we were kids? He's sweet, you know?
Yeah, you thought like a geeky dude was sweet.
I don't know. It wasn't effeminate. It was just he's sweet, you know? It wasn't tough. Sweet guys weren't tough
like,
guys.
Yeah, no.
Sweet guys were not tough guys.
He's kind of like suave, or thought he was suave.
I don't know. I remember my sophomore year, like that term became kind of a term
that was thrown.
Yeah, like everyone's like, oh, he's so sweet.
How do you remember?
You know, and it was kind of a dig, you know?
Yeah.
But I think being sweet is great.
I think being sweet is pretty sweet.
And I think this song is going to be a big jam. Here they are. It's Japanese Breakfast.
Sweet.
Be sweet.
I wanna believe.
That song arouses you, doesn't it?
It does. It's been in my head all week. I couldn't get it out, so I sent it to my daughter in the hopes that she would love it too.
She probably does.
I don't know. She doesn't. She didn't respond to it really. She was like, "Thanks."
I'm in LA.
What do you mean? I played it like six times in the car today. I thought you would love this because it sounds so poppy in relationship to the other stuff that like the TikTokers are into.
Don't worry about the TikTokers. I can't
figure out TikTokers.
Get rid of the TikTokers.
Yeah. Billy, you moved.
Yeah, dude, I got in the new spot, man.
He's got a big dirty leather couch.
And how do you feel? You're exhausted today. You got a big dirty leather. You got a big dirty leather couch, don't you?
It's not dirty, thank you.
It will be.
Mm-hmm. When I grow up, I just want money and a big dirty leather couch.
Big dirty leather couch. Yeah, no, it's a good spot. I'm not totally unpacked yet, so I think when I get unpacked, I'll feel actually comfortable.
And after all your thrifting escapades that you've been through,
it paid off.
It paid off. It's
now
it
you're
looked,
fully
it looks
decorated?
It looked pretty good. There's some stuff that I need to tweak, but
minus the cigar wallpaper.
Minus the cigar wallpaper.
And you're in the safest possible place, across from a police station.
I'm across the street from a police station.
I've been in that police station.
Yeah, so have I.
Several times.
I was in there a couple times too, unfortunately. But yeah, no, it's a nice spot.
Yeah, I went over there, Clay. It is pretty nice. I'm excited for you, Bill.
I am too.
That's going to be the new bunker for all the mastermind-minded stuff that happens on this program.
All your horny ideas.
Yes, yes. All my Randy ideas. This is from Too Much Zuck, the following
right.
story. Okay.
Here we go.
Nike, all right, settles Satan Shoes lawsuit. Little Nas gear won't be on any feet, all right? Little Nas X, you know who Little Nas X is?
Sure.
Old Town Road, all that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
He's like rebranding himself, right?
Well, he's got to come out. He's a one-hit wonder. He's got to follow it up with something daring.
Yeah, so you what's know? He doing now?
Well, Little Nas X's Satan Shoes won't see the light of day because although Nike settled its lawsuit against the manufacturer of the merchandise, the shoe giant really won the battle to block the controversial kicks. Nike tells Too Much Zuck it reached an agreement with Mischief, M-S-C-H-F.
Michelin?
No, this must be the a brand or a company.
The Michelin? Michelin?
Snow tires.
No, now. It's like a handle. Mischief, M-S-C-H-F.
Oh. Okay. Sure.
Mischief, the company producing the custom shoes based on Nike's Air Max 97. The so-called Satan shoes were inspired by Lil Nas' demonic-themed music video for his new song, Montero, Call Me By Your Name.
Wow.
The footwear giant tells us the settlement calls for Mischief to launch a voluntary recall to buy back all Satan shoes it sold for their original retail prices in order to remove them from circulation. All right? So apparently this company, Mischief, was hawking the limited edition kicks for $1,018 a pop. An ode to the Bible scripture emblazoned on the shoe,
wow.
Luke 10:18, which references Satan's banishment from heaven. Buyers snatched up all 666 issued pairs within minutes after last month's release. The shoes featured an inverted cross, bronze pentagram, and a drop of human blood.
Whose blood is it, Phil Knight?
I think, no.
Wouldn't that be crazy? As reported, Nike filed suit against Mischief last week, claiming Mischief was infringing on its trademarks by selling the altered Air Max 97 without Nike's authorization.
Oh, yeah.
A judge had already granted Nike an injunction to block all future sales of the shoes. As part of the settlement, Nike says anyone who doesn't return their Satan shoes for a full refund will have to contact Mischief if they encounter a product issue.
Dad, can I borrow your saber? I gotta return my Satan shoes. Right. I'm about to get sued.
Well, I'm so bent out of shape, you can't return the Satan shoes to Nike anymore. Only Mischief takes them back.
You can't do it tonight. I gotta go down to Piggly Wiggly and pick up some charcoal.
Why did you kill him? Well, he got my Satan kicks dirty. He stepped on my Satan shoes. And you just don't step on my Satan shoes.
Well, now that makes them even more valuable. If you keep them and then put them on eBay in 10 years, then they'll be worth $40,000.
That's insane,
but then
isn't
you get
it?
Sued again and whatever.
You know, I bought this mansion. I own 666 pairs of Satan shoes.
You know what? I got a beef with Phil Knight again, a new beef.
What is that?
Remember my old beef, how he stole?
Yes. Right.
He stole from
the waffle sole design.
Yeah, from the Asian shoe market in the 60s. Now, I'm watching all these baseball games, right?
Uh-huh.
and it's to get the swooshes on everything.
Oh, on all the MLB
It's on
unis?
The, all the uniforms now.
I've seen that.
It's on all the catcher's gear, if I mean the catchers that want it.
Yeah.
It's obnoxious.
It gets it's a bit overbearing, that's for sure.
You get it, dude.
Well, yeah, Mike's got it. There it is.
Get it, Phil.
Look at that. There they are. The Satan shoes are on eBay. Mike, what's that? $6,666 for a pair of Satan shoes. You've officially lost your mind.
That's COVID, right? Man. That's when COVID is like.
What'd you do with the 10 grand winnings? I bought a pair of Satan shoes for $6,666.66.
Yep.
And then the rest of it I bought was cigarettes and booze.
The rest I paid Steven.
Is that
Seagal
20
the
grand
wallpaper.
I see there? Some guy wants 20 G's for a pair of those things. Wow. What was I doing a couple Wednesdays ago? I could have got a pair of Satan shoes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, why didn't I think of Satan shoes?
Nah, just, I mean, what'd they originally list for, a grand? I mean, see, that's just it. Like, I mean,
$666.
It's a market, man. I saw a Garbage Pail Kid card. Remember those Garbage Pail Kids?
Mm-hmm.
Those cards are selling for 20 grand.
Yeah. Right. This was a Garbage Pail Kid of Abraham Lincoln, right?
Correct. This was, that one was unreleased.
Okay.
So that's a special one. But some of the regular ones are selling for that much.
So I saw a clip of a video on, it was a link off of Facebook, but it was of the guy on Pawn Stars.
Oh, yeah.
The fat guy.
Yeah, which one?
Not Rick.
They're all fat.
Chewy or whatever, the Chum.
Yeah.
Chewy.
Chumley.
Yeah, Chumley. But this was Chum after he had lost all his weight.
Yeah.
So he's like,
Bill's
kinda
having a conversation. So he's not 2006.
Yeah. Well, Chum.
The downfall of Pawn Stars was when Chum Lee lost all the weight. Because the audience didn't. They didn't. He was no longer the MacGuffin. He couldn't be a fool anymore because he wasn't fat and doughy.
It's right. You know what? It's like when they took Dave off of Storage Wars. Anyways.
We're talking reality TV casting.
This is like
you know what I'm talking about? Dave Hester? Yep. That guy.
This is truck stop bathroom talk.
But no.
Yes, it is. Truck stop bathroom talk. Oh, my God. You like Pawn Stars? Storage Wars?
Anyways, it was a clip of these guys. It was like greatest card.
You done with that urinal?
Right. It was.
I got a girl meet me in here.
His name's Cliff.
Her name's Cliff.
Anyways, Chum Lee was looking at this guy's cards, and it was like clips of like all the greatest like presentations on Pawn Stars of like one guy had claimed he had a Babe Ruth, ended up being fake.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, this dude brought in like a full collect like albums of like all the released Garbage Pail kits, like in mint condition. Chum Lee was like, buy it to Rick.
You wouldn't do it?
Rick wouldn't do it, and the guy was like, I think it was for like in the end he wanted. Maybe, I think they did buy it for like $250 off the guy. The guy wanted it. He wanted like $500. So if your predictions are right, Chum Lee and Rick
Chum
made
Lee
some dough.
Have you guys ever watched? You're speaking of reality
Chum
TV.
Chum Lee looks like a Garbage Pail Kid.
I've gotten into shows. I'm like real late to TV stuff. Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Somehow I've started watching Naked and Free.
Oh, it used to be a jam of mine. All right. Sunday nights used to come out.
That's and, Survivor with no clothes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and it's pretty entertaining, Clay.
Really?
I've got to admit, but there was one episode this week where I love the dynamic between the woman.
Are
and
you
the man,
always looking for well, a little something?
It becomes Tarzan and Jane, you know.
You're always looking
but
for
there,
a side.
There's
dude.
Always a guy off to the side eating a sandwich, you know. Like so. I can't understand like how seriously they're really taking
plus
this.
Plus, there's
you
like
know?
60 crew like, members.
Can you imagine just being covered in mud, butt-ass naked in like the Amazon rainforest, and you're talking to like some barista from a Starbucks from Oregon who decided it'd be a good idea to get on the show with you?
And then there's a cameraman in the back.
Yeah, there's 40 people
sucking on gummy bears.
Yeah, there's a guy eating like gummy bears, you know, and he's got flies buzzing around him, and he's like, ah, you know.
You're like on the ground going,
I'm hungry. We need protein, you know. Yeah.
There's
like eat your boogers. Eat your boogers. You'll live longer. But anyway, while I'm watching the episode, right? I think they have to cast it this way. They always put it together. There's this one guy, and he's kind of like a putty character from Seinfeld, you know?
Sure.
He's like an ex-Marine. He's like ripped up, bald with like a 5 o'clock shadow.
Uh-huh.
Meant to be there.
Yeah. But also like, you know, like I'll skull kill you, you know? Like, yeah, you know, just
skull kill you.
Yeah, anyway. And then another woman who's a survivalist. She's like 20 years younger than him, right? Sure. And she's kind of a granola eating crunchy with like dreadlocks, you know. But she has a high survival rate rating. They like rank you before you get on the show.
Sure,
right?
I've seen the show. Yeah.
So they're in the Amazon rainforest, right? And they're getting along fine, and they haven't eaten for days, right?
Sure.
And the big marine guy, he goes, "Will you look at that?" You know, and they see like a big giant electric eel, right? Like floating in this little pond trap that they made.
Nice.
And he's like starving, right? He grabs a spear that he made.
Sure.
Right?
Kills it.
And she's like, "I'm so hungry," you know? And he goes, he looks at it and like it's just gut instinct, right? He attacks the eel. And he goes, "Are you ready to take your last breath, mother ever?" And just rams this spike into like the skull of this eel, right?
Yeah, okay.
And then like picks it up. You know, and the eel's like wiggling, you know, and the guy goes, "Dinner!" You know?
Throw it on the fire.
The girl was so offended that she wouldn't eat.
Oh.
Okay.
I would have just chowed down then, man. Pretended that eel was
like,
"I'm
sorry I offended you. I'm a warrior." You know?
And then the director said, "Cut." She walked over to the craft service table, got a bag of Doritos. They say, "Put a new eel on that pond."
I didn't know the.
Yeah. Anyway.
Show business.
Yeah. Cut, please. She's mad about the eel.
Did he say what the eel tasted like? Did you get to that part?
She eventually ate some, but they had this long argument with each other.
"You're going to die. Eat."
He goes, "When you're in survival mode."
Like, sounded like that, huh?
Yeah, like an old movie character, you know. "When you're in survival mode, you'll eat a shoe if you have to get through it. And I've been through some tough times. And I'm sorry if I lost my handle with the eel and got a little excited for dinner."
This is like his private interview.
Yeah, and he's like, but he was like, you know, "God gave us those creatures for
how
us
did he
to
prepare
eat.
This?
You know, like he was giving her one of those speeches, and she was like,
"Did he just grill it up and eat it?"
Yeah, he get like if we just put it on a stick and
fried it.
Ate it like a hot dog in Wisconsin, you know. "Take a bite of this eel. Tomorrow we're paddling down the Amazon."
Yay! Right. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This eel doesn't happen to stop any mosquitoes.
"Stick your hand up your butt and rub it all over your body. The scent will keep the mosquitoes off us."
Like,
"When you're done eating."
Like, "I came to Hollywood to be like, Full House, and now I'm doing this."
That's what she thought she was going to do at MTV Road Rules. She got stuck on Naked and Afraid.
I played Michelle Tanner's preschool friend on Full House. I thought I had a big career ahead of me.
Oh, yeah.
Wiping poo on my face.
The big marine, yeah. "Wipe butthole stink all over you so we don't get attacked by bugs."
"Now I got Sergeant..."
"Excuse me, I have to call my agent."
Yeah. "Now I got Sergeant Slaughter yelling at me."
Right. Calling me weak.
My agent told me that I might be playing Larry Flint's daughter.
"Larry Flint's daughter is a tougher role than this. You got to get through the Amazon first if you want to even have a shot to audition to be Larry Flint's daughter. You must be kidding me. Now sit down and eat the eel that I killed because we got to paddle up the Amazon tomorrow. Nude and filthy." Naked and Afraid.
That should be your show, Nude and Filthy.
Nude and Filthy.
Yeah, except I just drop you in, like, Detroit.
Yeah,
you know?
Just in mud.
a couple? We throw a bunch of garbage and mud on them?
Nude and Filthy was the name of the show that she was auditioning for to play Larry Flint's daughter. Instead that she got the Naked and Afraid job.
Nude and Filthy is a Larry Flint
story.
She's
like, "I thought I was doing Nude and Filthy." The agent's like, "Naked and Afraid called instead."
Nude and Filthy, the Larry Flint story. Narrated by Robert Stack.
You're right, though. That would be the most off-color sort of game show ever. Like, you just, Nude and Filthy, you just drop people in really dicey neighborhoods, and they're nude and filthy. And they have 40 minutes to get 9 miles.
They do just fine.
Right. You know,
what was the,
without getting arrested.
What was the game
or,
show that we had talked about years ago on the past on this show where we were like, give a guy... What was it? A pack of Newports, and
see
like,
if he can survive.
And like,
somewhere.
What was it, like $30 a pack of Newports and see if he could
make
get
it around the world?
Yeah, no.
It was like, he had to get like 10 miles. That was it.
Right.
He had like to escape from a neighborhood with, we wouldn't give him money. All we were going to give him was collateral to trade for things.
That's right.
And he could pick any three things that he wanted to get for collateral.
Here's the deal. Bill loves menthol cigarettes, so he would smoke every single one and then just end up dead in an
I guess that's
somewhere.
The survival rate. Like, can you get? Can you hold your minties? Can you make it to your final destination?
All right, this show's officially gone off the rails. We're going to take a commercial break. More Hooli's Hooli after these.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, where you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Hang in there. We're almost ready for some more of the Hooli's Hooli. Stay tuned.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Welcome back. Hooli's Hooli, fourth quarter of the program. We've talked about my daughter Charlotte going to L.A.
We've talked about a thousand things, Pat.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
Billy moved.
Right.
Billy moves.
It's always stressful.
It is. I'd like to, it probably feels so very relieving for you to like get through it and be like, all right, I'm done.
I think when I'm unpacked, I'll feel that way. But yeah. Like,
what is this? You've moved probably 8 or 9 times, right?
Yeah, I've moved like 6 times in the past like 5 years.
You're going to stay here forever?
Huh?
You're going to stay at this place for a while.
I plan on it. We'll see where life takes me, man. You know.
Get a stripper pole in that joint.
Oh, God, I don't want to go down to foot. Clay, you mentioned something that like, as soon as other groups people of our friends have found now know that Bill has this place.
Yeah.
I'm already getting texts of people being like, "Quick, come over." Yeah. Like because I have an office in the apartment, right?
Yeah.
Off to the side, that we have Hibernian's offices in the condo.
In Bill's unit.
And so it's like an excuse, you know, and it's nice. It's got, you know, a little fridge in the office and a flat screen to, you know, view work and schmooze. And I'm like, this is, you know, this is.
Stack of hustlers.
We haven't incorporated that yet.
No, none of that. Right.
You know why their office is so nice? The reading material.
He's got a stack of hustlers 5 feet tall.
He has an antique stack of hustlers 5 feet tall.
The sculpture.
We never get much work done.
Don't touch that. That's a sculpture. It's not real.
Why does it always go to Hustler on this show?
It's terrible.
It's the gutter. It's like sixth grade in here, typically. Yeah,
that's what it is.
What's on tap for the weekend? Any T-ball? My son Mikey's got some T-ball kicking in.
Yeah, I think
now.
That's starting to roll around slowly. I took my kids over to the baseball field and hit some grounders to them, etc.
We had a practice the other day. I was thrilled.
Are you coaching?
No.
You should coach.
But I ended up, I mean, I think that when kids are that young, all the dads kind of start integrating themselves into it a little bit.
You should coach and wear baseball pants.
I thought about that.
All you have to do is call me. I got all that gear.
You got baseball pants?
Well, here's I don't have any baseball pants. Actually, do I? Let me think about that.
It'd be a little weird.
Do I have any baseball pants? Let me think. Who has to think?
From when you played softball.
Do you have any baseball pants? Let me think.
When was the last time you played softball?
I might
10
have
years
some.
Ago, maybe.
So you got a pair of 10-year-old baseball pants?
There could be something laying around.
Well, dig them out.
Yeah.
Well, let me borrow them. Anyway, it was nice to get on. One of the unique things about this team is my friend Kevin Horan.
Yes.
Our old pal Kevin.
Sure.
Right? Childhood pal. He was on my little league team growing up,
okay. And
now his son's on my son's little
league
team.
Isn't that nostalgic?
And then Kevin married his sweetheart from childhood,
correct?
Right? Katie Moore.
Yes.
She was also on one of my T-ball teams growing
up. Wow.
So it's weird to watch it all come, it's like life coming full circle on the T-ball diamond.
Were you guys any good?
Yeah, we were good.
Yeah.
What was that? What team was that? Voltmaster?
That was Remax Combined. Hashtag Remax Combined. Shout out to them.
Coached by Joseph Boback.
And the other name of the team was called Voltmaster,
legend.
Clay. You're right about that.
Yeah, that's one of the greatest T-ball names ever.
I don't know what that company did.
They made Volts.
Yeah.
Apparently.
What's your dad do for a living? Some billionaire that works at Voltmaster? I bet he is. But he doesn't have a stack of antique hustlers in his office like me.
Oh, he does.
He does? I must leave.
Is that supposed to be a conversation in the late 80s at White Hen in River Forest?
Yeah.
Obscure T-ball dad conversations. Now there is a short sketch show.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
You know, how's working from home? Real good. A lot of pocket pool. How you doing? You, Slurpees on you today or Slurpees on me?
Got a stack of hustlers.
You say, what, Slurpees? It's a drink over at the White Hen. I thought you meant something different. I'm from Tennessee. I ain't never heard of Slurpee. I heard of Slurpees, but I had never heard. You get my drift? How old's your son? 6? Okay, cool.
You know what? That's funny you say that, because the other day, oh, man, I had this exact thing happen to me. I was just driving around with my kids or whatever, and I see that there's Oak Park High School football game going on.
Sure.
So I pull up to the field, but you can't get in the stadium, so you have to look through the fence.
Okay.
And there's this other dude looking through the fence, and he's got his kid with him, whatever. And he strikes up like the, hey, how old's your boys? And I'm just like, right. Yeah, here we go.
Got him a pair of Nikes, I see.
Yeah. they like running sneakers, huh?
I don't know. Why is my dad from the South? Why is every an authoritative drill sergeant from Louisiana, you know, Tennessee?
This guy played football.
Because there's guys like that.
Right. At Michigan State. And he's like, I'm friends with the coach of the other team, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
He's like, I play football at Michigan State. And he goes into this whole thing and blah, blah, blah. And I talked to him for like 10
minutes. Did he tell you what he ran the 40 in?
Yeah, he goes into it. And then I'm getting my car late. I'm like, you know, I'm going to look this guy up. I couldn't find him anywhere. No roster, nothing.
Yeah.
You just said you played football and you're not on the roster, so what's the deal?
Siri don't know you.
I don't know you.
People do make up stories, Clay.
Yeah, just, I think he was just some crazy lunatic.
Or he might have been. There's lots of guys start doing
it. Well, nice meeting you, Todd.
If I ever have kids someday, I'm going to start, because, you know, I'd probably be like an older dad. You know?
Will be, yeah.
I'm just going to start telling the younger guys that, you know, I was a legendary, you know.
Bill's going to be 70.
Strong safety at Notre Dame or something.
Bill, there's plenty of dads that have done that over the years. I remember my grandfather told me when I was a kid that he was one of the four horsemen and entertained himself for years until I was told that I was a fool, you know, by another old man, you know. And I was like, I remember this. I went back to my dad. I was like, hey, Dad, Grandpa wasn't one of the four horsemen. He was like, what? He goes, he told you he was one of the four horsemen. I go,
man, how gullible are you?
And then I said, we saw my grandpa, right? And he was like, did you tell the boys you were one of the four horsemen? And he just went, ha ha, yeah. You know? And God, he goes, did it blow up in their face? You know? Like, he was amused by this.
He probably forgot that he even told you that. So like, oh, yeah, I did tell him that, didn't I?
I took my son Mikey shoe shopping. One of the things, you'll get a kick out of this, Bill. One of the things while we're
out. Did you get him some Satan Nikes?
I didn't know about the Satan Nikes until tonight when I was reading too much Zuck.
You should have got him some Angel Nikes.
Right. Oh, there's the.
Flip it.
God's Nikes. Yeah. Right?
Jesus. Air Jesus.
Air Jesus.
They should, yeah. I'm sure there's plenty of pairs of like that already that, you know.
With angel wings kind of the side of them?
Really? Why does the Air Jesus have angel wings?
What are you saying? He's not an angel? What? Well, dude's got wings. He's not like,
Jesus. Like, are you saying maybe like there's a pair of Jordans with like the...
He's not an angel. He's Jesus.
Like the picture of Our Lady Guadalupe on it or something like that. Is that what you're saying? Kind of street design?
Well, yeah. Right. Well, you got to have anti-Satan shoes.
Can you email Mick Jagger tonight and ask him if Jesus is an angel or not?
Jesus is not an angel.
That's his next hit.
He's God.
Mick Jagger's next song, Jesus is Not an Angel. Here on Country Radio, Tennessee.
Good Lord. Anyway, yes. This is the most blasphemous episode we've had in ages.
Sorry. Yeah, right after Easter Sunday. Oh, boy.
Anyway, I took Mikey shoe shopping because I had him. He had cleats on the diamond. You'll get a kick out of this, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Horan, you know, always kind of a wry, sarcastic sense of humor.
Absolutely.
You know, 100%. He's there and he sees my son Mike with the cleats. You know.
Uh-huh.
He just goes. He looks at me and he goes, "Slow down, Canseco." Yeah. You're buying him the cleats already. Like you're that guy.
Like dig in.
You know, like easy. Make sure the kid likes it first. Anyway, and then I took Mikey shoe shopping because Mikey, my son Mike, the other day, I go, where are your shoes? He runs out of my house. He's like escaping out of my house during COVID. Anytime he can see an out to run down the alley to see if anyone's out to play, he will, right? And it's fine if I know where he is, but he likes to do it without me knowing sometimes. And this time he ran out of the house and I catch him in the alley and he's barefoot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where are your shoes? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, you don't know. And then I asked the other kids, I was like, where's Mike's shoes? You know, and they're like, we don't know. We think he just like threw them in a bush. So Mikey apparently kind of finally came clean and was like, yeah, they're too small for me. So I just took them off and threw them. And I was like, well, don't next time just come to me and tell me that you want new shoes.
Give you some outta gears.
Don't just, I like how you just take some, like if you were walking down the street one day, would you just take your shoes off and throw them in a dumpster and just walk barefoot wherever you were going? But I took him shoe shopping and I thought he was going to be into it, right?
Yeah.
Could care less.
Really?
Didn't care, you know?
He doesn't want
Satan's. He's like, they got Jordans here? That's all he knows. He's like, I want Jordans. Like, and I'm like, and then he's
fresh out of Jordans.
He's looking at the Shaq shoes that they have at Shoe Carnival.
Oh, yeah.
He's
Shaq's
like, they got Jordans. And he's looking at the Shaqs. I go, well, those are Shaqs. They're not Jordans. But
he was taller than Jordan, but they'll work.
anyway, but he did pick out a pair finally. But even getting him to sit down and measure his foot was like an ordeal. He's like, nah, come on, let's go. Just pick the, like, and I was like, no, you got to like the shoe before you put it. Like, I need you to walk around it and let me know how it feels. And it was like, it's the polar opposite of how I would have been when I was a kid. I used to get like pumped. I'd be like, we're getting new shoes today. What? Oh, yeah.
Bag for the pair that was $20 more than the other ones. Like, even, you know, even though they did nothing.
Billy wanted those British Knights.
I wanted the Barclays. I got them. I wanted the pumps. I got them. I begged for them. I got the Deion Sanders. I begged for them. The Pippins. I begged for them.
Did you get them all, Bill?
Got them all. Did they make me a better player? No.
Did they make you happy?
They did bring me some happiness.
They brought you some pain,
The Pippins brought me the most happiness.
Which ones brought you the most pain? They got dirty or something?
Well, the pumps were the worst ones I ever wore. They were the worst shoe.
Performance-wise,
the pumps were dog crap.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Pain-wise, the Deons.
Like, you loved them so much, and then they got ruined.
Blisters from the Deons.
Oh, you're more concerned about your feet.
Yeah. The Pippin was like a glove. Scotty knew how to wear design a shoe.
You're like, anyways, it's Chicago foot critic. For Chicago shoe critic. The Pippin was...
The Jordans are good. The Pippins
beautiful.
Are good.
He knew how to treat his feet. He really knew how to treat his feet. They were really nice shoes.
Well, they were like, they had the flight lights forever, and then they just came, and then there was just Nike Flight, and they were Pippins.
Shoe talk with Bill.
They were sick.
Anyway, spring is here. I am happy to get back in baseball, kicking into gear, Bill.
Oh, yeah, sports talk.
We got to mention the Sox a little bit here.
Now, come on.
You're mean?
The Yerminator, huh?
Yeah, wow, craziness.
What's his full name? Yermin Mercedes?
Yermin Mercedes. Yes. The backup catcher and DH.
Babyface,
this guy's unbelievable, man. He went 8-for-8.
Yeah.
It's insane.
He had
2 run by him tonight. He's got 2 home runs. He's got like, what, 8 RBIs?
He's probably 10-for-12 now or something.
It's unbelievable. So he's been like the big story in all of Major League Baseball. Right. Where did this guy come from? It's a nice problem to have since Eloy is gone. Dude, they look strong. I mean, Lance Lynn tonight. As
I
we're
just
speaking,
Googled
you know?
Mercedes thinking he would come up instead of the car.
Yeah, he's not, car not yeah. quite
he's not
there
that
yet.
Famous yet?
Yeah. No, but the Sox, yeah, they're going to be, I don't know, they did what they were supposed to do on the road trip. They came back, you know, 500. Some people were like, no, you know, they should have gone 6-1. The only game they should have lost maybe should have been to Otani. Whatever. You know, I mean, it's early.
They got.
So
have you watched the new post game reports with the Ozzy and Chuck Garfine?
Yeah, he's funny. Press.
It is kind of funny.
It's becoming a thing.
But it's like it's Ozzy kind of uncensored. But Ozzy like just. Do you think Ozzy's going to get himself fired at some point?
I hope not. I mean, but we'll see. I mean, he's already taken it. Like, I think he secretly was hoping that they were going to hire him again instead of La Russa.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's kind of like, he did kind of take some jabs at La Russa about some of the managerial he did in one of the games in Seattle the other night. And then La Russa took the blame for the loss. So
right.
I don't know. I mean, that's all jabs with Ozzy. You don't know sometimes if he's serious or if he's not. But
this dude is 15-for-27? Is that something?
Yermin Mercedes is 15-for-27?
That can't be right.
To start the season?
Could be right.
Could be right, sir.
Maybe it's right. Maybe it's right.
At this point, yeah.
That's incredible.
Do you think Ozzy Guillen would ever be on the show Naked and Afraid?
Yes.
Heck no, man.
Wouldn't be afraid, though.
No way.
Like, I'm totally fine with my body. I don't care. Whatever. Rub that poo on me. I don't care.
Ozzy and Chuck Garfine are nude walking through Haiti for like an afternoon.
It'd be a funny plug for their show.
They're like, okay, you guys have to scout one baseball player, sign him, and get to this checkpoint. Nude and filthy,
and then hit a double. We got this baseball field over here in the jungle that we built.
Good Lord!
Wow, Jeff Probst
built it. There's people probably working for the White Sox. Like, did he just propose a commercial where Garfine and Ozzy are nude?
They're naked and afraid
of the Yerminator.
I can't wait to go to my first Sox game. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be fun. We are at the end of our show. If you have enjoyed listening, you can find archives. Just go to hibernianradio.org. I do want to thank our sponsors again. That's Fox's Beverly Pizza.
Yeah.
The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub.
Yeah.
And Guinness Irish Stout.
Yes.
And Flood Brothers
Disposal.
Yeah,
if you're going to White Sox games, make sure you stop at the Cork and Kerry in Bridgeport.
I have an announcement.
Sure.
Tomorrow, will mark, or this weekend, 15 years since I've had an alcoholic.
Whoa! Oh, that's a big, big, big milestone. Congratulations,
God bless
Clay.
15 years.
15 years, man. Wow.
Sorry to all the bars out there that I couldn't.
It's a lot of business they lost.
Yeah. I believe you had. You wanted to go out with a song.
Yeah, it's Blind Melon.
There it is. Until next week, folks, this is Blind Melon.
I don't feel the sun's coming out today. It's staying in. It's going to find another way. Yeah. As I sit here in this misery, I don't think I'll ever know, Lord, seen the sun from here. Knows I've been away.